It is Matt Mosley. Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. RG3, Robert Griffin III. Robert, it's got to be so much fun to have you on. Congratulations, by the way. Another honor. You have a lot of Baylor honors. The All-Decade Team Offensive Player of the Year. I would just call you Player of the Decade, but they said offensive, so we'll stick with that. But congratulations on yet another Baylor Award.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. They're all exciting to get, and you know we did a lot of great things while at Baylor, so I'm thankful, very thankful and blessed.
You know, now people can make money off their name and likeness, Robert, here in about a year or so. Have you thought about sending Baylor a bill at some point? I remember them doing a study about what the Heisman meant as far as marketing. I can send that to you. I think it came in at like $20 or $30 million. So if you ever need some support on that front, let me know.
Hey, you know, I might have to keep that in mind, and we'll definitely have to write up that bill for Baylor together and send it to him.
Well, I tell you, looking back on your career, it was so incredible to witness. You know, I was always trying to show up interviewing you and everything. I talked to Art earlier today, and he was excited for you. When you first committed to Houston, and Coach Briles was there, when he got the Baylor job, how quickly, obviously you were right there from Copper's Cove, how quickly did you decide, okay, I'm going to Baylor? Because obviously you knew that staff extremely well. Was it immediate, or how did that whole thing come down?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you about that without giving you a quick story. Okay, so Coach Briles was the head coach of Houston, and there were some rumors that he was going to go to Baylor, and I was already committed to Houston. So I called him up. Or should I say, I texted him and I said, Coach, are these rumors true? Are you going to Baylor University? And he said, Griffey, don't worry about that. You know, that it's just rumors. Just focus on your high school season and we'll talk about it later. Literally the next day, he was on the TV screen doing Sick 'em Bears as the new head coach of the Baylor Bears. So it made me laugh, and I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, he doesn't want to tell anybody, so anyone knows. And I sat there, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so should I hit him back up and ask him if he wants me to go with him? And, you know, they always say, you don't want to beg the girlfriend to love you, right? You want her to express to you that she loves you. So I didn't. I didn't hit Coach up, and I kind of just sat there. And I had a couple more offers roll in because teams knew that, or should I say schools knew that I wasn't going to be going to Houston anymore. And I got an offer from Oregon, and I got another offer from Stanford. So I actually did take the visit to Stanford. And as I was on my way out to that visit, Coach called me up and told me that he wanted me to come with him. He said, come with me to Baylor. We'll do something that's never been done here before. We'll put a football stadium on campus, and we'll be immortalized forever. And after I left that visit at Stanford, I came back, I committed to Baylor, and the rest is history. So
wow,
that's the story.
What now, was Andrew Luck, was he already being recruited to Stanford? How did that play out? Was that pretty, because y'all were right there at the same time?
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all. I was an early graduate. I don't know if people remember, I actually graduated in December of my senior year of high school and went to college in the spring. So Stanford wasn't allowing their student athletes to come in midterm at that time. So I was going to go out to Palo Alto and work at a law firm for the whole spring and continue to train out there and then compete with Andrew Luck when the school season started, should I say when the football season started. Not a problem for me. I had a little bit of inclination that they were going to try to switch my position. Although they told me they would give me a shot at quarterback, they gave me a wide receiver as my host on my visit. And it just so happens that wide receiver was Richard Sherman. And everyone knows now that Sherman used to be a wide receiver, got switched to DB, and the rest is history for him and his, you know, potentially Hall of Fame career. But that was the icing on the cake for me. You let me know, like, hey, ding, 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 they're probably going to try to switch your position, even though they said they would play a quarterback. And I actually found out that that's exactly what they were going to do last year, because there's a coach on our staff with the Baltimore Ravens who was on staff at Stanford, and he told me that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to put me at quarterback for a day and then switch me to receiver. So, you know, it all worked out.
Is it true that Mack Brown and his staff did recruit you, but they were kind of open about the fact that defensive back is where they would want to move you? I've heard all these stories over the years, and I think A&M was even, you know, obviously trying to recruit you too. Was that accurate? Do you remember that about the University of Texas?
Yeah, it's accurate. I would say that the University of Texas, Mack Brown, they didn't offer me as a quarterback. They offered me as an athlete. So I did get a scholarship offer, but they didn't specify DB or wide receiver. Texas A&M actually did specify that they wanted me to play safety. They came to my spring game, our spring game there at Copper's Cove, and I think I threw for like 4 touchdowns and ran for 2. And the coach came to me after the game and said, "Man, you are one heck of a quarterback, but I can make you an All-American safety." And I didn't hear anything else he said after that.
Talking to Robert Griffin III on the Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. That's very safety. By the way, and you won the Heisman at quarterback, so you had the last laugh. How do you think you would have been as a safety? I mean, I kind of feel like you probably would have found a way into the NFL. Did you ever... I'm thinking about, because you were such a great track athlete, did you ever at Copper's Cove or coming up spend a little time at DB? And I would imagine you were pretty good at it if you did.
Yeah, I mean, if I got on the radio and started talking about my 7th and 8th grade defensive, you know, back abilities, I think people would roll their eyes. But since while we're at it, I did play linebacker in 7th and 8th grade. And in high school, I did play a little bit of DB. I played safety as a freshman. Along with quarterback, and then my senior year of high school, I played corner. They kind of wanted me to go out and guard the team's best receivers, and I practiced that really all year, playing quarterback and playing corner, but they never put me in a game at corner. So I had some experience. I think what's written is written. So if I would have gone to Texas or A&M and been moved to wide receiver or DB, I definitely agree with you. I think I'd have found my way into the NFL. As a DB, probably, you know, ball hawking safety, you know, patrolling the back end, and as a wide receiver, you know, just a playmaker. So, yeah, I think it would have happened, but, you know, that's not the route I went, and I'm blessed to be a quarterback.
Did you ever meet Hal Mumme, who famously sort of got his start at Copper's Cove and is credited with the air raid offense, he and Mike Leach and all of that? When you got to Copper's Cove, were people still talking about him, and have you ever crossed paths with him?
I'd be mistaken if I said I did. I don't think I have crossed paths with Hal, but when I got to Copper's Cove, obviously anyone from the Central Texas area knows of the great Copper's Cove coach, Jack Welch, who kind of led us, you know, and built a program there for sustained success. Over the years, and really that's what the conversation was about. And obviously Charles Tillman was a big part of that conversation since he was a pro at that time playing for Chicago Bears.
Robert Griffin III joining us. When you think about your career at Baylor, I think a lot of people think the TCU, the Oklahoma game. The one that comes up in my mind, Robert, is that Kansas game. And you guys You guys were down, Lawrence. I mean, and probably that might have cost Turner Gill his job, sadly. But that was and I think that was the Heisman year. But I mean, without that comeback, I don't know if some of all these unbelievable things happened for you and that you earned. I mean, does that game still kind of come up when you think back on that amazing season?
Yeah, it really does. You know what? I agree with you. Without that Kansas game, I don't think there is a Heisman, you know, in Baylor's, you know, trophy chest right now. We were down big. I believe we were down 17 with 7 minutes to go, and we got it started. I think I had a long touchdown run, and I had a long touchdown pass that Tevin Reese kind of just snagged out of the air. It was a pretty windy day that day. And without us coming back from that, I don't think we – would have been in the limelight, because that game set us up for the big-time game against Oklahoma, the big-time game against Texas on national TV, where everyone could see how far Baylor University had come and how special of a team we had. So It was nerve-wracking because we knew going into Kansas, like, we needed to get back on a winning streak. We needed to get back in the win column. And they came out and punched us in the mouth for, you know, 3.5 quarters. And then we finally came through. So it was a testament to the guys that were alongside me, testament to the coaches, just sticking with it. And a very important game that a lot of people forget about.
Wasn't it great to see some of your old receivers, Teva and Kendall, you know, some of those guys, Terrence, end up on that first team? I'm trying to think who else. Levi got on there actually as a utility type player. What made it so special? I mean, you had such a great relationship. Boy, you and Kendall right away. I mean, that was Kendall
right.
Came from a small place, a small town. And yet he just was so incredible. And what was it about sort of y'all's relationship and chemistry? Because I would say that sort of set the foundation for a lot of these guys, Corey, KD, all these guys who would come after you.
No, no doubt. I can't speak enough or throw enough praise on the guys that I had, and I was blessed to be able to play with at Baylor. Like you said, when me and Kendall came in, it was like a connection right away. I feel like Kendall came from a small school. My town in Copper's Cove it's a 4A, 5A high school, but it's a small town. And we came in together playing with a chip on our shoulder. Like we had something to prove. We had something to prove to the bigger schools that didn't give us offers or something to prove to the people who didn't believe in us. And I think that resonated with everybody. Coach Browse did a great job of bringing guys in and letting them do what they do well. He wasn't going to, you know, bring in a guy and say, well, he doesn't do this, 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 or this, so we're going to make him do this, 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 or this. He just puts you in a position to be successful, and I think that's why Kendall had so much success. You see Corey's on this list, Terrence Williams, a guy who came in running, you know, 4.6 and found a way to be one of the most prolific wide receivers in Baylor University history. You got Tevin Reese on this list, right? A skinny guy at a Temple that people thought, oh man, he's a track guy. He's a 300 hurdler. He can't play wide receiver in the Big 12. And he proved everybody wrong. You know, Levi, you know, a lot of people forget that Levi played basketball also. So he was a two sport athlete, great returner. You know, coach's kid, had just a nose for the game and was a lot of fun to play with. And then Antoine Goodley, just another phenomenal wide receiver that I had the opportunity to play with. You know, these other guys, KD and Corey and Denzel, they continued that tradition of going out there, playing with a chip on your shoulder, and proving everybody wrong.
How are you liking Baltimore? I mean, it just seems like that's been an incredible fit. Everybody knows the story over the years, but you got Lamar Jackson, the MVP. You've been a really great mentor. It has to be kind of odd. You're not like an old guy, but suddenly you're the veteran mentor. And I know there's probably part of you that's like, hey, I want to start again. But at the same time, you've really been incredible for him. What has that time been like for you in Baltimore? And do you ever kind of wish now, well, I wish I had started in Baltimore. Does that ever come into your mind?
Oh, see, you're trying to rope me into something. But here's what I'll say. You know, I agree with you. It's been amazing, an amazing experience being in Baltimore, with top-notch, first-class organization. They take care of their players. They understand the importance of taking care of the quarterback and surrounding the quarterback with guys and people that are going to help them grow. So I think that I also agree with you saying that I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that for Lamar, helping him grow, helping him see the game, helping them continue to get better every single day. But at the same time, I also agree with your statement that I want to be a starter again. And I'm 30 years old. Quarterbacks are playing into their 40s now. So I've got a lot of time to still go out and achieve all the dreams that I've set out for myself and all the goals I set out for myself. But right now, with where I'm at in Baltimore, I'm just trying to maximize that opportunity. And who knows, maybe I'll be in Baltimore for the foreseeable future, playing the role that I am right now, but getting compensated more for it, or I'll be able to go out and compete to be a starter again somewhere in the league. Just continue to go out and earn it every single day.
Have you asked Lamar if he has a statue at Louisville yet?
I have not asked him if he has a statue there yet, but I'm, you know, he should, right? You know, it's an award that it's not just about one guy. but it is special for the entire school. So I think you should get one.
All right. And you don't – do you ever – boy, you got somebody having a big time there.
Yeah, that's my middle child, Gloria. She's just singing, you know. She likes the Frozen franchise like every other little kid out there, so she just sings the song randomly throughout the day.
Now, are your kids taking an interest in sports yet? Or I mean, it sounds like she may be an entertainer, you know, maybe dancing, singing, all of that.
She definitely likes to sing, like, mostly when me and my wife are talking to each other. Then she'll try to, like, sing as loud as she possibly can so that we know that she is, like, alive and that she's there. But they definitely love sports. I mean, I don't know any kids in the world who ask their parents, can they do box jumps? But my kids ask if they can do box jumps. So it's pretty funny. I enjoy, you know, that's been the silver lining to all the COVID-19, coronavirus, and everything. It's spending more time with the family, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that, being home. I've seen my family more this offseason than I probably have, you know, since I turned pro. So it's been amazing. That part of it, and just to watch my kids grow is phenomenal.
I never asked to do box jumps, Robert. That was not something I asked to do as a child, and I think you've seen that from me. Yeah, you know, I while I have you, I did want to ask you about it. In the aftermath of the awful, you know, what happened to George Floyd, the murder in Minneapolis, you've been very vocal and active. Are you seeing anything in this country right now, Robert, that leads you to believe that we could have real change? I mean, I guess at least one thing I'm seeing is it seems like more white people are actually getting involved and standing up and trying. And I don't know if we always know exactly what we're supposed to say, but I do think more and more people want to get involved and see true change. Is there anything about this that feels different to you and that might lead to some meaningful change?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I really do think that right now there's so much momentum and enthusiasm for change to eliminate a lot of the, what do you say, the stains on the clothes of America, right? I don't want to give anyone a history lesson, but, you know, America was founded on liberty and justice for all, right? That is the principles of our founding fathers. It's in the Constitution. And, you know, for the past 400 years, it's really been liberty and justice for some. So, as you said, more white people are starting to see some of the injustices. And I think that 2020 is a revolutionary type of year because people have had their eyes on their phones more. They're watching the news more because they're not working. They're not busy. They don't have anything to do. And that's sparking this change on top of the injustices that have been happening consistently within the African-American community. So I'm excited, and I think that the momentum is going to lead towards an actual change in the way things are done to get it more towards equality and to give everybody an equal opportunity to go out and be successful. You know, it's why my wife and myself and our foundation, we started selling these social justice bands on our website, rg3sports.com, to give to Black Lives Matter initiatives. People wonder, what does that mean? It just means we're using the bands to raise money to give back to the community, to impact and work with these local and state governments on programs to help eradicate some of the problems that our country has been facing for a long time now. So I do believe that change is coming, and everyone who's listening to this right now, you're going to be a part of it. So we thank you in advance.
Robert Griffin III, we so appreciate you. And, boy, to your point, there was a rally that took place in Vidor, Texas. And for once, it was the right kind of rally. You know, I mean, I was just sort of amazed at some of the things we're seeing in communities not known for this. And I think that is a great thing. Well, Robert, you know I've tracked around the country, followed you, the Redskins, obviously Baylor. So it's great to see you doing well in Baltimore. I remember seeing Jerry Jones's face when you that day you came to the new stadium and beat the Cowboys. And you could just see it. He had fear in his eyes. He was like, oh, my gosh. I've seen the future. I remember his quote the next day. So you still have a lot of fans in Central Texas, and we appreciate you just so much. And congratulations on your award.
I appreciate the award. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I appreciate the support from Central Texas. It's always home, and I pray you guys will all stay safe in the coronavirus and continue to stand up for what's right. Thank you, guys.